On EWTN Global Catholic Radio, you'll hear a wide variety of speakers discussing a multitude of topics, from atheism to zeal. But what are the fundamental realities that often lie hidden beneath these topics? Well, Father Thomas Dubé uncovers these very foundations on the program Bedrock Basics. Now here's Father Dubé.
Welcome to Bedrock Basics. I'm Father Thomas Dubé. We have been working for a couple of weeks now on a pretty wide subject, namely, as I'm calling it in a popular terminology, taking ourselves in hand. And we have been dealing with the question, a real problematic question, why so few people, as St. Bernard remarked, are converted from serious sin, alienation from God, and to grace. Many make that conversion, but so few go on to become better. And we've been dealing with that subject, analyzing it, and last time we were explaining why we so resist that transformation from quite good, but far from perfect, to better and to the very best. Why we do that. And last week we considered two reasons. One is the obvious one, that it takes effort and work. And we're wounded people, you and I, original sin, and some of our own too, and we don't like to make effort, especially about something that will affect our lifestyle in one way or another. And then we took the second reason we resist, is the Lord's own analysis, right on target. We can be suffocated with good things, good in themselves, even necessary things, but start to make little idols out of them. And this, today, we're going to consider the third reason why we resist change. While we do not ever sit down and decide, I won't change and improve, we just never get around to it, many of us. The third reason is that if we do not have at least a deepening prayer life, of which we have spoken at length elsewhere, I won't repeat all that. If we don't have deepening prayer life, we're just not going to get the gumption to take the means to grow in virtue either, in our duties of state and that sort of thing. Now, that being said, I want to proceed on to the last area, which I think next to last area, and then we'll take a look at some results of this change from first to second to third degree of conversion. I want to consider some means to make the changes that are needed, despite the fact that we have our problems and our resistance. These suggestions will help get over those obstacles. The first suggestion, what can we do about this situation we've been talking about? It is not hopeless. Certainly with the grace of God and our reasonable cooperation with it, we can do a great deal, or maybe I should word it a little bit better, he can do a great deal if we will cooperate and do our part. I want to suggest four little keys or suggestions for getting going, taking hold of yourself, as I must do for myself as well. The first suggestion just stems from what I said a couple minutes ago, and because I just said it, I will just mention it here, but it needs to be mentioned, namely, that we embrace a serious meditative prayer life. And a meditative prayer life that will lead, if we continue with it and try our best to live the gospel well, it will lead to a deepening contemplative prayer. And then you will find your life being transformed. People will notice how much better you are, even though you don't put any display before their eyes. If you do not understand what I mean by a deepening prayer life, if you can consult those previous series that we dealt with the matter, John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Prayer Quest, Contemplation, there were four of them that said all kinds of differing things that supplement one another about a deepening prayer life. And if you want, I'm very reluctant to mention anything I've written. I just don't like to do it, but perhaps I should here. The book Fire Within also explains this at length. So, that's the first suggestion. And if you stick with that, you are going to grow. There's no doubt about it at all. Now, the second suggestion, you probably have never heard of, unless you belong to a member, or you are a member of a religious order. Then you probably have heard of it. We call it particular examine. It's distinguished from general examination of conscience, which we do before we receive the sacrament of reconciliation, Also, as part of night prayer, it is a very good thing to do, to go over the whole day and look, how did I do in living the gospel well in my state of life? And we call that a general examination because it looks into all areas of our life. Now, this particular examine, you don't have to do it exactly as religious and priests and brothers and nuns do it. But I'll give you a very simple way of handling it. But first, let me explain just briefly what it is and then how much sense it makes. Particular examine, as the name indicates, suggests that we take a look at one area, a particular area of our spiritual life. That's why it's called particular. We don't go over everything of a day. We go over that day with this one point in mind. Let me use a couple examples from sports. If you've got a baseball pitcher who is very good, except that one of his pitches is not up to snuff. He's good with the fastball, the slider, the curve, and so on, but it's something he's working on, and he's not very good at it, he gives it special attention, particular attention. And I would suppose that is probably most of what he practices. And it's a very wise thing to do. He does not practice just in general. Oh, he does that too, and he limbers up in all the exercises. I presume that's part of the package. But he gives particular attention to one thing that needs improvement. Same with a basketball player. Once in a while, you run across an NBA player, professional, the best in the world, that level of playing, and he's very poor shooting free throws. Well, he practices that, I presume. It needs special attention. And I'm pretty positive they practice all kinds of things, slam dunks and all sorts of things. Particular attention to a fault to be overcome. Or, in our case, a virtue to be acquired. So if I have trouble being pleasant with this one individual who annoys me, all right, I've got a particular problem that I'm going to take efforts, watch that, and do something about it. So that's what we mean by particular examine. And it makes a huge amount of sense, even if one is not a religious. Anybody who wants to grow seriously in coming closer to God is going to be helped by this. I know I have been doing it all my life as a religious, and I would be in very bad shape, maybe worse than I am right now, if I didn't do it. And one can grow if one is persistent with it. Now, what would you do, for example, with particular examine? I would suggest that there be one time during the day, probably a good idea the same time so you remember it, where you take 2, 3, 4 minutes and take a look at one particular virtue you want to acquire, pleasantness toward that annoying individual, for example, or another example, anyone I've taken, gossiping about people's faults. Take any kind of thing you want to improve on or some fault you want to get rid of, and you do this little thing, particularly examine, this way. Very simple. I would suggest beginning with a brief prayer to the Holy Spirit for light, to know yourself better, and do something about it. 10 seconds, maybe. Your own words. Then you would want to look over the previous 24 hours to examine how you did on that one point. The times that I met this individual that annoys me, how did I react? If I was unpleasant or not cordial, not warm, kind of just grunted a greeting rather than a cordial greeting, for example, I go over the times that I met with him or worked with him to see how I did. That might take a minute or two. Then, in view of what I have found out in my last 24 hours, I get myself ready for the next 24 hours. When am I probably going to meet him? Or in the gossip sort of problem, with whom do I gossip? I look over the previous 24 hours. What occasions did I? What did I talk about? About whom did I talk? Why did I talk about that person again, that way? And in view of what I learned, I prepare for the next 24 hours. Then we close with a little prayer again. Thanks to the Lord, asking for help, that you will be more attentive to this, and prayer that you do it. Carry it out. Makes a huge amount of sense. And if you stick with that, And if your prayer life is deepening, you are certainly going to grow from the one degree of conversion to the other two we have been talking about at length. Now, there's a third little suggestion still. And this one might surprise you. It's not part of what I learned in the novitiate when I learned about particular examine, but it makes a lot of sense also. I would suggest, if you have a persistent fault, that when you knowingly fail, not simply a forgetfulness, when you knowingly fail with that on that point, give yourself a little penance, and a penance in the same area in which you failed. Let's take the example of overeating. Suppose that's my problem. Or I eat junk food that I don't need, or I eat too much of it. Some kind of problem in that area. The penance would be, if I eat two pieces of pie for dessert instead of one, and that's been my problem, one of my problems, then if I knowingly do that, my penance is going to be the next meal, no dessert, no peach pie, or a much smaller piece. In other words, I'm putting some punch into my resolution. And if I do that and carry out the resolution, I'll soon get that particular fault in line. For no other reason, perhaps. I hope there are other reasons, but at least for the reason that I don't want that penance again. Makes sense. The fourth little suggestion might not work in your situation, I don't know. But it's good if you do have the opportunity. And that is to have somebody to report in on how you're doing in your particular examen, how well you're carrying out your resolution. And especially if you give yourself a penance, report whether you did the penance or not. Now, we don't want to continue too long with that because that's rather a childlike thing. We have kids reporting on things. I would like to think that each of us is a responsible adult or responsible teenager, whoever might be listening. But if I find that I'm not really carrying out what I decided, if I've got a real good confessor who's amenable to this, I'd ask him if I may report in every time I receive the sacrament and I'm being faithful or I'm not faithful about this, and ask him to give me a penance. If one does not have that kind of confessor, one could possibly have this little arrangement with a friend or maybe a husband with his wife or wife with her husband. It's a kind of informal support group, really, I would call it. If one is faithful to this very brief program, the deep prayer life, etc., the particular examen, the reporting in, the penance, for sure there's going to be growth from the one degree of conversion to the next, and even to the highest if you stay with it. Now that brings us then to our last area here. The results of conversion from the first to the second degree, giving up deliberate venial sin, and the third degree, even to heroic virtue, living as the saints live. What happens in your life? Because great things are going to be happening. I'll just mention several of them. The first one is that you will find that your prayer life itself deepens. Your intimacy with God, your contemplative prayer, your meditative prayer, you are going to be growing in it. Just as the Lord said, Luke 8:14, we considered it last week, you may remember, that if we get rid of our little idols, which would be our faults, the objects of them are usually little idols, we're going to mature. That was the word he used. And that's what I'm saying right now. If we take the means, we're going to mature in our relationship with God, and therefore our relationship with one another. The second result is that we are going to be much more valuable to other people, co-workers, in marriage, husband to wife, wife to husband, and both to their children. I have said this before in this series, and it is very worth saying once again. The best thing you husbands and fathers can do for your wife and children is to be converted to the highest degree of holiness, because the impact you have on them then will not be simply putting food on the table, shelter, all of which is very good and important, but the impact you're going to be having is eternal, far greater than any other impact. And that goes also for wife and mother. The impact on her family will be all the more holy, eternal in effect, lastingness, according as she is living what we are talking about. And if a person loves another person, you want to do the best thing you can for that person. And that's exactly what this program will do. And by the way, it's not simply my promise. It makes common sense. What I just said about the little program, including particular exam and deepening prayer life, of course that will bring about conversion and therefore being much better for other people. The third result from being converted to the second and third degrees of holiness is what St. Paul says in Romans 8:28. For those who love God, all things work together unto good. Observe that he does not say simply, some things work together unto good, or successful things work together unto good. Indeed, they do. But all things do, so that even suffering works together unto good. Which reminds me of a remark of St. Francis de Sales, very much like St. Paul's. And it's a challenging remark, and if you think about it long enough, you will agree with him. If we knew all that God knows, we would will to happen exactly what does happen. By the way, what God wills here means his permissive will, what he allows to happen. If I knew, for example, suppose I am very sick. Happily, I feel fine. But suppose I'm very sick on a bed and I can't get out of the bed even, and suppose it's painful. If I knew everything that God knows about my situation, my eternal destiny, and how well I cooperate or not cooperate, and all kinds of details, I would want to permit my illness, although he wants me also to do what I can to be healed, of course, but I would want to permit to happen exactly what happens. Because God permits things for you and me always because of love. And if we knew all he knows, we'd know this is the best thing for us in these circumstances, in our situation, and for other people as well. So, what is the result of these conversions from the second and third degree? We more and more put on the mind of God. And as Paul puts it so nicely, again, for those who love God, and this person is really growing in love for God, all things, illness, failure, disappointments, criticism of other people, all things work together unto good, even failures, therefore, as well as successes. The fourth result of a deep conversion all the way to the transforming union and heroic virtue is that one's joy in life increases immensely. Let me cite here what we have in the first letter of Peter. There are lots in Scripture, as you know, about joy. And as a matter of fact, the people who really, as Paul puts it in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always are precisely the people who are converted, as we have been saying. So that if we carry out this little program that I've been suggesting, we're going to share in that rejoicing in the Lord always. Peter puts it in this fashion. You did not see him, and it is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, by the way. You did not see him, yet you love him. And still without seeing him, you are already filled with a joy so glorious that it cannot be described. I wonder if you have ever experienced a joy of which Peter is speaking. So glorious, so inexpressible, that you could not describe it to another person. That's the kind of joy they experience who really are converted to the heights of holiness. It's part of the package. This joy of which Peter speaks here is not a burst of youthful enthusiasm. as I guess I supposed in my youth, when I would hear these things as a child, a teenager. I didn't deny them, of course. I had at least that much sense. But I kind of thought, well, it's an all kind of special burst of enthusiasm or something. I had no idea of what Peter was really talking about. And now, knowing people like John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila and Bernard and the other saints, Thomas More, for example, our married saint, one of many married saints, knowing them a little bit better, I have a better idea what Peter's talking about. And this is definitely part of the package. So there is a big price to be paid, no doubt about it, that to make the effort, to make the sacrifices, to get rid of one's faults is no easy task. That's why I have been providing, suggesting motivation. We all need it badly. But this does come about. And what Psalm 34 says, taste and drink deeply, for the Lord is good. There's an experience. That's the tasting is the Hebrew way of saying experience deeply the goodness of the Lord. And the joy and the delight of that experience is far beyond any kind of earthly delights. Anything you can imagine on earth doesn't come up to it at all. It doesn't come close, as a matter of fact. And we talked about that in one of our other series. And this, of course, is the deep contemplative prayer, which brings with it, as it grows toward the summit, an unspeakable delight. You know, when St. John of the Cross talks about the very summit, and he uses metaphorical language, because that's much better to describe indescribable things, when he gets to talk about these very heights of prayer, sublimely put and explained, he will very often finish with the remark, well, I would prefer to say, keep silent about this, because if I tell you what it's like, you'll think that it's nothing more than what I say. And it's far more than what I say. And then he will add this comment. What I have described to you, and it's breathtakingly beautiful, what I've described to you, that breathtaking was my remark. What I've described to you, said John, is the least part of the reality. And he makes the comment also elsewhere that all the sufferings of his life, and he had a lot of sufferings, much more than you and I have to suffer, beaten to blood even by his persecutors. That is almost nothing compared to the delight one has when one has reached the heights of holiness, transforming union and heroic virtue. That's John's judgment, and he knows what he's talking about. Other saints will say much the same thing. So that is one of the results, the fourth one that I want to mention, of this deep conversion to the very heights of prayer. The fifth result is that our degree of eternal ecstasy, which is heaven, also increases. You know well enough, I'm sure, as a youngster, you learned your catechism, somebody instructed you about heaven and the degrees of glory in heaven and the delight. And the example was used, I know, in my childhood, that all the blessed in heaven are tremendously delighted and forever. And I call it an eternal ecstasy. And you've heard the example, I know I did as a youngster, that a thimble can be full of water, a gallon jug can be full of water, a barrel can be full of water, the Pacific Ocean is full of water. And so there are degrees. Everybody will be without any hardship or disappointment or sadness. Everybody in final salvation, beatific vision and risen body, will be happy. No doubt. But there are degrees of happiness. And like this example of containers of water, some can contain much more than others. And you and I will grow in our delight forever, according as we have been converted more and more deeply. So, as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, notice the strength of that expression, you've seen nothing like it on the face of the earth. No matter how beautiful somebody's face is, how beautiful their personality is, how gorgeous the scenery, how magnificent Mozart's symphonies are, you've seen nothing like it. Eye has not seen, ear nor ear heard. Most sublime music And those of you who love music, you know you can be so thrilled with a beautiful piece of music that you just weep. I remember Newman, his intellectual genius, on the side he would play his violin. Whether it was a relaxation, I don't know. But he would sometimes weep, virile man, at the sheer beauty of the music. Well, ear has not heard anything to compare, nor can you imagine, says Paul, what things God has prepared for those who love them. Your final destiny is contingent, mine too, of course, on the degree of conversion we have attained in this life. So, I have mentioned five different results of conversion, and as I look at my little outline here, every single one of them is worth 10 times worth, 100 times worth, the effort in making the changes in our life that are needed. But you look at them all, and you can see that they all together provide compelling reasons that we should get busy, take hold of ourselves, and really do all the things we have mentioned. Give the Lord everything in a deep prayer life and all that follows from that life in the nitty-gritty of every day. God bless you. Bye-bye.